All right, we're back on the WGXC Afternoon Show, and now we definitely do have Karen Michelle on the line. Karen, can you hear us?
I can hear you fine.
Oh, great. So this is Tom Rowe, and also here with me are Ellen Thurston and Richard Roth, who you may not be able to hear quite as well as me, but I'll try to relate their questions too.
Okay.
But we have you on because you're giving a workshop on Saturday called Sounding Good on the Radio. Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, part of it will depend on what people who come to it want and what kind of shows they're doing or plan on doing and how they sound. So I'm going to have people introduce themselves as if they are introducing themselves to a radio audience, and that will give me a good idea of where we're going. So at this point, I'm thinking of some voice care and feeding information, warm-up exercises for the voice, focusing exercises. A lot of people get very anxious before they go on mic, whether it's pre-recorded or live, so that people can just calm down a little bit. Hoping to talk about mic technique and how to engage guests, how to be a host, some interviewing tidbits, and then really talking about how radio is sound-based and what that means.
And you teach all this at Marist College, we should tell our listeners?
Well, the wonderful thing is I teach none of it at Marist College. I teach at Marist College, but of course they don't have me teach what I actually know about. No, I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, no, I teach other things. But this is what I do. I mean, I'm a radio person, so I look forward to doing this for you guys. It'll be fun.
Now, we know that you began your career at the age of 5 on Kids Say the Darndest Things with Art Linkletter.
It's true.
And what did you say?
Well, they asked me about the dress I had on. I had, and I still remember this, I was wearing an organdy dress that my mother had dyed a shade of brown that I hated. But it was an amazing dress with all these ruffles, and she made it by hand. We had no money at that point in time, and I was wearing kind of boys' knockoff samples clothes they could get for nothing with the you know, fly sewn shut. And so I had to have a dress for this, and my mother made one and, as I say, dyed it by hand. And so Art asked me about the dress, and that's what I talked about. I didn't say I didn't like the color, of course. I was nice.
Well, then your career, I assume, moved forward on the radio. And from there, what happened?
Well, actually, it moved to television briefly because I was on the Kids Say the Darndest Things TV version, too.
And your dress was more important on television, I assume, than it was on radio.
Well, theoretically, yes. But for that, we actually went out and bought a dress. And I remember this going into this hotsy-totsy kids, you know, boutique. This is Los Angeles, where they proliferate, of course. You know, dogs are dressed. I mean, kids, God knows, right? Christmas trees are flocked. You can't even have a naked tree on the street. So, and fortunately, when we went in the store, there was a woman there who was a TV personality of the time. I don't remember this woman at all, but my mother was like, oh, and asked her advice for picking up the dress. And then, you know, it wasn't until, well, I used to make out of cigarette packages radios, actually, and did talk into them. But that didn't go very far because as an only child, I really was talking to myself in this cigarette box radio. And then I didn't get into radio until I was in college, in grad school, and needed a job. And I was living at the time, this was at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. I was living in the woods outside of Fairbanks in a geodesic dome that I had built with no running water or electricity. And the thing about radio is that it made me feel connected to the world. I'd listen to, you know, Susan Stamberg with that great New Yorkie honker of an accent and think, I'm not just out here in the woods. I'm with the rest of the world. So when I needed a job and there was a job open at the college public radio station, that's where I applied. And they never asked me if I knew what I was talking about, which was very handy.
They've never asked us here at WGXC either.
It's what community radio is all about, right? That do-it-yourself ethic.
Yeah.
And aesthetic. But it was kind of cool because the job that was open was for an engineer, which I am not. Though in these days, of course, I'm becoming more and more of one for producing my pieces. But I owned a reel-to-reel tape recorder, Remember those days, reel to reel?
Mm-hmm.
And knew an input from an output and had heard the word impedance. I couldn't have told you what it meant. So when I went in for the interview, I threw those few words I just threw around at the program director. And we just kept on talking. And he said, well, I'd really like to hire you. And I was like, oh, there's an engineer. Please, no. And then he said, everybody who works here has to have, it was a work study job, has to have an on-air shift. And so we need a demo reel from you. And he took me into the studio, the production studio. I'd never been in one. And said, oh, yeah, this is the plot for this. This turns on this. This does this. And just, you know, half an hour from now, just, you know, here's some music. Here's some wire copy for news. Just come out with something. And I had to act like I knew what I was doing. And since you folks all know, it's not that hard, really. Half an hour later, I emerged with a demo tape, and I got a gig as an announcer of a classical show because I could pronounce the names and convincingly fake the names I didn't know, which is what I did for the demo tape for stuff. And as a producer, and I had never produced, never, ever, ever. And a couple weeks later, they gave me a plane ticket and a phenomenal tape recorder, a Nagra tape recorder, to go back to the Eskimo village where I'd been living to do a series of radio documentaries. I didn't have a clue, and I had like 2-minute introduction to how to thread the Nagra and record sound, and I was off. That's it. That's my story.
Have you done other work using your voice before, or acting, or anything like that?
No, I was kicked out of elementary school glee club. I'm so terrible. No, nothing. I was discouraged from. Well, my mother used to tell me that from the time I was a little kid, people were shocked that I had such a low voice. So I learned to talk well before I learned to walk. And there I'd be in this, you know, whatever they call them, those things you pull along, strollers, and rattling on, but I was a baby with this low voice. So now I'm not in the stroller, but I still rattle on.
Some things are meant to be.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe that's the secret. I mean, thank goodness here at WGXC, well, thank goodness it arrived. Just as I was thinking, wouldn't radio be fun? And they don't make me engineer, which is a good thing, because there is no way that I could fake that. But I feel like I'm playing at radio most of the time. I think Richard feels a bit more confident than I do. Wouldn't you say, Richard?
Hard to say.
Richard, for what I know of you, you do play, right?
I do play.
Yeah.
And actually, I had the pleasure of being in one of your workshops.
Wonderful. Yes, that's true. We know each other. But, you know, I think that if you're not playing at what you're doing, there's almost no point. And I don't mean play in that frivolous sense. I mean in the joy of surprise and wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we'll have some of that in the workshop. We'll have a good time.
And the workshop's at what time? From 2 to 4, right?
2 to 4, and if folks want to hang out a little later, that's, you know, fine by me. It's supposed to be schlecky weather, so, you know, we'll see. And we can always do the part 2 of the workshop at the Spotty Dog or one of your other fine sponsors. Underwriters.
It's here at the studio in Hudson at 704 Columbia Street, and I believe they ask for registration in advance. Is that right, Tom?
I think we always try for that, so they can. We know how much things to prepare, recorders and equipment and such.
Oh, I thought you were going to say prepare the refreshments. I guess not.
Like people who come and people can drop in is bring a poem that you like that doesn't rhyme.
A poem that you like that does not rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that you should bring?
Joy.
A sense of whimsy was what I was going to say, yes.
Water. Water would be a good thing.
We'll have some of that here, I think.
Okay. Water, a poem, hopefully good health, because I don't want to hurt anybody's voice. Would be good. And people should try to abstain, and for me this is going to be a really tough one, from drinking anything caffeinated for an hour before.
Oh.
I'm not sure if I've ever done radio in that state.
Well, the thing is, you may be more lively, but it actually hurts your voice. So chocolate, tea, coffee,
And that's pretty much my diet right before I go on, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm a caffeine addict, and I mean, I'm a self-proclaimed caffeine addict, so it's really hard. It's hard, but it'll make a difference.
All right, anything else anyone should know if they want to come on Saturday?
Wish for good weather, and I really look forward to seeing people that I've seen before and learning about the new folks.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us for a few minutes on the air today.
Thanks for asking. See you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Karen.
Sounds awesome. Bye.
There is Karen Michelle, and we'll be back in just a few moments on WGXE.